Man, it feels good to be in God's house this morning, doesn't it? Well, hey, my name is Pastor Tom. I'm our senior young adult pastor, and I am so excited to be in the house with you all today, not just because we got an extra hour of sleep. Hello. Come on, somebody. But because I truly do feel like God has given me a word and an assignment for some people today. And I just want to welcome you home. Hey, if you're here, we just want to say welcome home, our online community. It's so good to have you guys here with us as well. And we're going to kick off a brand new series today. I'm super excited because we're going to start our series, the month of November, called Blessed. Someone say blessed. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to jump into this. Before I jump in any further, I want to give honor to our lead pastors. Honor is a culture here of us as well, too. But honestly, it's a lifestyle of how we live. And that the Bible says that the leaders and the apostles of the Word of God are worth double honor. And let me tell you why that's important. Is because it's not what honor does for them, but it's what honor does for you. That when we honor the man of God, when we honor what God is doing, what we're able to do is come underneath the blessing of what is on this house. And so I just want us to take some time to honor our lead pastors. So grateful for all that they do week in and week out. And let me tell you this, we spend hours studying, preparing for us to minister on Sundays. And this is what Pastor Josiah does every single week. Stays up late, preparing himself, getting filled with the Spirit, praying, ministering, giving his best for you, Pastor Marie, week in and week out. One more time for your mouse. Can you help me honor our lead pastors? We love them. We're so grateful for them. I want to take time to honor my wife, and man, look what God's doing. I can't wait for all that's to come for the rest of us, and we currently went through a season where it was unexpected. Like, we're like, you just got let go from your job, huh? That's cool. Hello, Lord, what are you doing? And you know, God's faithful. So if you're here today and you're going through some things, let me just tell you this, he's faithful. Come on, tell your neighbor he's faithful. Hey, so if you can remain standing with me, and if you did not get the message outline, you can raise your hand. And what we're going to do is we're going to go over that today. And I'm excited to kick off our new series on Bless. And just raise your hand. Our amazing ushers will give you that. Remain standing for God's word here. Before we jump in one more time, just want to do a reminder. Hey, our young adult retreats. Young adults, if you're in the building, let me hear you make some noise. We're kicking off. First time ever, young adult retreat. It'll be a 2-day, 1-night, overnight stay. You ain't gotta go home. We can stay up in the mountains. And let me tell you why this is so important, is parents, send them there. We'll take care of them. If you got some middle-aged young adults still living with you, we got you. My wife and I will disciple them. But ultimately, is I can't think of a better way to start your year than by putting God first. And it's going to be some relevant messages specifically for young adults. But not only that, a place for them to find community. Did you know that young adults around the ages from 18 to 35 struggle the most with depression, anxiety, comparison, isolation, so much stuff that they go through that we're creating a space to be able to pour into them effectively. And so young adults, if you're hearing you're like, that's weird. What's weird is what's going on down the street at the clubs. What's weird is all the anxiety that's running around. Ain't nobody doing anything about it. So register for a young adult retreat. Spaces are limited, okay? Spaces are limited. So we want to make sure that we have get you all squared away. Y'all ready to go into the Word today? I didn't sound convincing. I said, are y'all ready to jump into God's Word today? Genesis chapter 12, as we kick off our theme verse for the Blessed series, the Bible says, I will make you into a great nation. This is God speaking to Abraham. And I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Let's jump over to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. I'll read a story here of the Exodus account, specifically how God has delivered his sons and his daughters. The Bible says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night, someone say all that night, the Lord drove back the sea. I just want to tell someone who you've been unable to sleep, it's time for you to sleep and trust that it's all in God's hand. God is working on your behalf while you're sleeping. He drove back the sea with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be breaking down the definition of what it means to be blessed. And I want to start us today and minister a message to you that I've entitled, The Blessing of God Problems. The Blessing of God Problems. Hey, would you pray with me this morning? Jesus, first and foremost, we thank you for the breath of life that we have today. Thank you, God, not even just for the extra hour of sleep, but just providing the peace and knowing, Lord, that you have it under control. So here's what I pray, God, today. Show up in a way, Lord, that would bring less anxiety. In fact, God, completely eradicate anxiety. No stress, no overwhelming feelings, Lord, no depression. But they would know without a shadow of a doubt that you see them and you hear them. Use your word today, Lord, that's alive, sharper than a double-edged sword that pierces through bone and marrow to reinvigorate our faith this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. You can go ahead, you can be seated on your way down to your, on your seat. Tell your neighbor, you're blessed. You are blessed. All right, here's where we'll jump into the topic today. Is we're going to be breaking this down over the weeks to come, and super excited. It's one of my favorite series that we do every year because I think this just helps us get a really good understanding of what it means to be blessed. And I'll let you into a little personal area of my life. Please hold your judgments. But I've never been a fan of word problems, even since I was a kid. Like, I would always just circle C, and that was before I even knew Christ. And I was like, C for what? I don't know. It just sounds good. Put C, Christ. That's not what we teach at Alive Nights, okay? So parents, if you're like, why don't you just tell my kid to put C? Nope, it's not what we teach them. We teach them D. I'm just kidding. But I've never been a fan of word problems. They would always overwhelm me. Like, when I would read them, I'd just be like, this is like, who, like, what? Like, Becky has 44 apples. Becky's on her way to the store and drops 15 apples. Becky then finds and buys 44 apples. Becky subtracts and loses 3 apples. She gives 4 apples away. And I'm like, first off, Becky, why do you have so many apples? If your name is Becky, okay, we love you, all right? This is not about you. But I'm like, Becky, what's going on here? Like, one, I don't care about your apples. Two, what are you, an apple picker? Like, and like sometimes I would find myself digging into deeper details of like they just use some of the most obnoxious things sometimes. I'm like, why would anybody have 44 apples to begin with? Like, put the apples back, Becky. But I've never done well with them. And it's kind of just like how life goes sometimes. Like, you start taking steps for God. So I'm going to go to Starting Point. I'm going to sign up for Grow Track. And after Grow Track, you know, I'm going to go to Connect Group. And then little by little, as you start taking steps, you start saying, okay, you know, if I start doing this, then God's going to bless me. And you're just like, okay, I haven't received the blessing yet. I'll keep doing it. So you sign up for the dream team, and now you're serving, and you're like, okay, the blessing's got to be coming any minute now, God. But instead of you finding blessing, what ends up happening is it feels like you're taking 10 steps backward in your walk with God because you begin to go through things. Am I talking to anybody today that you've been saying, God, I'm going to put you first, and you just feel like, my gosh, I have missing 12 apples, God. What is going on in this place? See, the Old Testament perspective of blessing has so far removed from the Western ideology that we have today. The word blessing in the Hebrew is this word barak, B-A-R-A-K. What that translates over to is in the Old Testament, the way they viewed blessing is in multiple ways, but in this specific story that we read with Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, was that blessing would be more about who I was in covenant relationship with rather than what I had monetarily. Now, God wants to bless us. 4 people that want to be blessed by God. God wants to bless us, okay? But what if that blessing is not how we view it today? Like, yes, you're blessed because you got a free cup of coffee. Amen. Welcome to Freedom House. Yes, you're blessed because you got money in the bank. Yes, you're blessed because you got the car that you've been wanting. Yes, you're blessed because you got the toy for your kid you were able to buy. But what happens when all of that is removed? What happens when you start going through some stuff and you're just like, I did not forecast this in my quarter 4 of 2023 when I was planning in the beginning of the year. Matter of fact, we are negatives. We've had to let people go. I've got written up. I've got fired. I got rehired. Then I got fired again. My kid got kicked out of school. Praise the Lord. But maybe you find yourself here and you're saying, man, I don't feel blessed. I don't feel blessed because I have been going through all of these different things. The enemy has been coming left and right, and all of this is going on. And if we are not careful, we will predicate an understanding of blessing based off what God can do for me. Newsflash, whether you go through things or not, whether you have abundance or not, you are still blessed because of what God has already done for us. I know you don't want to hear that. You want to hear how God's going to bless you with 7 figures. Amen. I'll receive that. But here's the reality. Because we live in SoCal, we will predicate our understanding and built an ideology and a theology of God based off of what I can show for my life. It doesn't work that way. Because here's the reality. You have enough. I know you don't want to hear that. Christ, who came for you and died for your and I's sins, who bore the price that we would never be able to pay, paid it all. You have enough. The one who took on the propitiation of all of our sins, who died for your mental health issues, who died for your depression, who died for the suicidal thoughts, who died for the infertility you may be going through, who died for the let go, the job loss, the provision and lack thereof. He died for all of that because your state of being is still blessed. Someone say, I'm blessed. And I want to talk about this here today because maybe you find yourself here today and you happen to be going through some things and you're saying, Pastor Tom, I do not feel blessed. Matter of fact, I'm in a problem and situations in my life and I cannot see a way out. I just want to say this, you're in the right place today. Come on, you tuned in online to the right online place today. But God tells Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And when I bless you, the predication of that and the result is that when I bless you, you will be a blessing to others. But what happens? What happens when life starts getting a little problematic? I don't know about you, because sometimes, I mean, maybe you're perfect, but I'm not. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, are you sure about that? God, are you sure about what I'm going through right now? God, are you understanding? I know you're all knowing, but can you also all be seeing? Because right now, your boy, be going through some things. But just because I am going through something does not disqualify me being blessed by God. I am blessed because of what I, not because of what I have, but because of who he is. So the nation of Israel, they find themselves in a little sticky situation. See, I gave you the pretty portion of the scripture, because that's how we, let's be honest, we like. We like the end story. We don't like the journey. Like, tell me rather, like, God, just, like, just make it happen, Lord. Boom, and I'm there. Like, just snap your fingers, and not like Thanos and the world disappears, but snap your fingers, God, and I wake up, and hello, the blessing is there, somebody. I wish it could be like that. But friends, there is a journey that God leads us through at times. And this is what I just want to park and talk about for a little bit here. Because if we're not careful, what'll happen is you'll walk out these doors. You're blessed, Freedom House. Thank you for tuning in online, coming in today. And you know what? Bless. Then you walk and be like, man, I don't feel blessed. I got a flat tire on the way to church. My car engine light just went on. My checking account is negative. You're going to be sitting around the holiday table comparing your life about where you should have been in quarter four, comparing about the things you do not have and saying, man, what, I don't feel blessed. Another year gone, we don't have a family. Another year gone, we don't have a house. Another year gone, we don't have the job. Another year gone, we don't have the things that we were talking for. Another year gone, my child's still not in church. Another year gone, my marriage is still hurting. Another year, God, I do not feel blessed. And the nation of Israel is in a problematic situation that I want us to talk about here this morning. So, they find themselves in this problem, a problem that they did not go looking for, they did not ask for. Come on, someone. You may be here today and be like, I did not sign up for this at all. Exodus chapter 14, the Bible says, the Egyptians and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, and then it does a breakdown, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite of Baal Zephon. See, there's no longer just this little problem that's taking place or a small hiccup. What's actually happening here in the scenes is that the nation of Israel is engulfed by now the nation of Egypt. What do I mean by that? Is in front of the nation of Israel is the Red Sea. Behind the nation of Israel is now the Egyptians, and there's just mountains and everything behind them. Do you find yourself in a place today where you're saying, God, I see no way out of this, Lord? If I go ahead, God, it's just going to be job loss. If I go ahead, Lord, it's probably going to be divorce. If I go ahead, God, it's probably not going to happen, Lord. But if I go back, there is a possibility it won't be as bad. And they find themselves now in what I like to call a God problem. What is a God problem? We'll compare the two here, because a God problem is very different from an earthly problem, because an earthly problem, let's be honest, some of us, we caused that our own. And looking at the back of the clock, okay, I'm not looking at anybody in the eye right now. There have been a lot of problems we've caused this year. It was not that God put you in a problem, it was that we made the problem ourselves. But a God problem is far different than that, because a God problem is when you're being obedient to what God has told you and you find yourself in a situation when you're saying, God, what's up? Like, I didn't ask for this. I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for Growth Track, and here I am in a God problem. So an earthly problem is one that you can solve. One that you can solve. This is on your notes. One that you can solve. A God problem, on the contrary, is one that you can't solve. You can't solve. So an earthly problem, number one, you can solve it. But a God problem, number one, you can't solve it. Number two, earthly problem. It creates distance between you and God. That some of our choices or problems that we've had, we've actually looked at it and be like, man, this is why I want to give up on God. God problem number two should draw us closer to God. I say should because sometimes we look at the God problems as an earthly problem. And we say, God, this is why I didn't want to let you in. God, this is why I didn't want to go to that women's event, Lord, because I knew I didn't want to just dress up in pink. But I knew, God, if I let you in, I was going to find my marriage struggling. I was going to find me arguing with my children more. I was going to find myself not wanting to work at this job anymore. I was going to find myself actually feeling called to do something different. I was going to find myself changing my parenting styles. I was going to find myself changing the way I actually wanted to date. Come on, single people. They're like, God, I want to honor you, and they don't want to honor you, Lord. They're trying to get all up in the cookies. I was the student pastor speaking. We talk about these things because we want to see a generation that has God-honoring marriages. I don't know. I'm tired of seeing brokenness repeat brokenness. I actually care about this generation, and I want to see these young people have break generational strongholds. I want to see such God-honoring marriages in early ages of in their 20s that then it becomes an influence across the world. So we find ourselves with God problems. So here's the thing. With God problems, Exodus 14, verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them, and they were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. You see, the Israelites were pinned in such a way that it wasn't until the Israelites were close enough that they were able to see them. Here's the thing with God problems is sometimes they are unexpected. Sometimes you just happen to look up, and there's a God problem. And do you know what that ends up causing us? It causes us to begin to have a forensic approach about our life. Like, where did this come from? Maybe if I turn this way. It's like. This is peculiar. Didn't see this on the forecast of my spreadsheet this quarter four. And my projections and calculations, the flux capacitor, didn't also show this one either. That's for my older crowd. But real talk, what ends up happening with God problems is it causes us to then look holistically at life and say, man, what? Why would this happen to me? I paid my tithe. I gave to the offering. I helped try and close this gap for escrow. I started serving. Like it just doesn't logically make sense. And then we begin to try and logically find a solution for it. And that's what the nation of Israel was trying to do. They were trying to say, what way can I possibly solve this situation here? Because the looks of it, we all gonna die. Moses, the people that you told us that we were gonna leave from, they're over there. I think sometimes when you have God problems in your life, you got to drown out all the haters. You got to remove yourself from critical thinkers. You got to remove yourself sometimes from logical people just for a season. Because if they start speaking logic over you, you'll start backtracking off your faith talk. You'll start saying, yeah, you know what? Maybe God didn't say to sow that much. Yeah, maybe God didn't say he was going to heal my marriage. Yeah, maybe God didn't really say that, you know, I was going to have a God-honoring marriage. Maybe God, and you start backtracking. So here's the thing. It caught them by surprise, and it may have caught you by surprise, but it did not catch God by surprise. I'll say it again. It may have caught you by surprise, this God problem, but it did not catch God by surprise. So how do we handle God problems? How do we handle God problems, Pastor Tom? Because I'm going through some things, and I don't want to go back. But I also don't know what to do. I think that's a fair place to be in, because sometimes what God problems present to us is an opportunity for us to learn something new. So point number two, God problems require God solutions. God problems require God solutions. We pick up and it goes, the nation of Israel, they're facing this God problem, but the issue is they have an earthly solution mindset. They are looking at how God is going to deliver them through the lens of an earthly mindset. The verse 11 through 12, it says, they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done by bringing us in out of Egypt? Like, I was kind of okay with being a little bit abused. Like, I was kind of okay with being talked to negatively, but you know what? They had good intentions. You know, they really did care about me. You know, I was kind of okay with getting just a little buzz. Not too much buzz, but just a little buzz. Not too much buzz. You know, I was kind of okay with going out with the boys and going out with the girls. I was kind of okay, but you know what? When they started talking to me about my faith with God and they started making fun of me, you know, it didn't feel good. But you know what? I was kind of okay with it. And the Israelites are just saying, Moses, what have you done? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Let me tell you this. You cannot afford an earthly solution in a season where there are God problems. You cannot bring earthly solutions to God problems. It doesn't work that way. How do I handle this then? What do I do with this? So let me ask you a question. How have you been doing with your God problems? What is this God problem, Pastor Tom? It's wherever you find yourself in. It doesn't have to be a job loss. It doesn't have to be your marriage on the brink of divorce. It doesn't even have to be that your kids are all running amok. A God problem can just be that you do not see a way out. A God problem could be a place where you're just saying, man, I've just been going through so much and I just don't know what to do. It's different because you didn't choose it. God chose you for it. Oh. But you're blessed. You're blessed. Remember, new series, blessed, hashtag. I don't feel blessed. I feel anxious. I feel overwhelmed. I feel like I'm stressing myself out. I feel like I want to go back to the bottle and drink. I feel like I want to just go back to the pills. I feel like, if I just go to the club, it'll just relieve a little bit of stress. Like, God will forgive me. This is what the nation of Israel is saying. Moses, darn nabbit. This is why you shouldn't give Becky all those word problems. Moses, it was better for us to die in Egypt. At least we had a place to be buried. It was better off for me to put back there. So again, what do you do when you are facing God problems? You have to have a God solution. What is that God solution? Because sometimes we get to a point in our walk with God where we genuinely are saying, Lord, I don't know what to do next. I want to help you this morning. Because again, your state of being blessed is not about what you have, but about your covenant relationship. So what do you do with God problems? This is not on your notes, but you can write this down. Whenever you are facing God problems, you have to go back to the last word God gave you. Whenever you are facing God problems, you have to go back to the word that God previously gave you. I don't want that word. He told me to sow to escrow. No. God told me that my marriage was going to be healed and we don't even live together. No. God told me that I was going to start that company and I just got let go from the job. Wow, that seems like a good God problem to have. No. So you don't understand, Pastor Tom. Like, earlier in the year, God told me I was going to experience revival in every area of my life. But this year, it's like the opposite of that. Like, I've just experienced friends being removed from my life. I've experienced hurt. I've experienced people talking behind my back. I've experienced all of these hardships. And it's like, I wonder if God puts you through that season so what he can do is show your enemies, show your family what it's like to walk with integrity, what it's like to be able to honor God through hardships, what it's like to be able to walk through a little difficulty, and you say, you know what? My God, he doesn't bless me because of what I can get from him, but you know what? That I am blessed because of what he's already done for me. Come on, tell your neighbor, you're already blessed. You're already blessed. No, tell me how he's going to bless me. I'm getting there. Don't worry, I'm not going to give you half a haircut or do half the face. We're going to get there. But I want us to see this because sometimes you will go in your walk with God thinking, I'm not blessed. I am going through so much adversity. There's so much in my life, like we just miscarried. We just found out that there's a cancer. We just found out a diagnosis. We just found out this, and it was unexpected. And you are in a God problem season that requires God solutions, not your earthly thinking. You will outthink yourself if you try and fight this God problem alone. You will put logic to it, and then you'll end up quitting. So how do we do this? We have to go back to the word that God told us. God already told the nation of Israel, I am going to put you in the promised land. God already told Moses, I am going to help you deliver the nation of Israel. But God left out that small detail that Moses, you're going to be pinned up against this wall of water, and the Egyptians are going to try and kill you right before I do something great. It's in the fine print. You should have read it. You know, some of you who just hit sign and you don't read all the fine print. It's like, accept terms. I don't need to read it. Just accept. God's like, full disclosure. Trust me. Just trust me. But God, I can't trust you because I have daddy issues. God, my dad was never in my life. He never showed me what it was like as a man to trust other men. So God, how can I trust that you're going to lead my life? God, I can't trust you because my mom was always in and out of my life. She just showed me all these things of what it was like to be a woman. But God, I don't want to walk and operate like that as a young adult woman. God, I can't have a God-honoring marriage because I've never seen what it's like to have a God-honoring marriage. God, I can't put forth all this effort, God, because I've never seen it. And God's just like, just trust me. Just trust me. Just trust that I know how to get you out of this. So the nation of Israel, they start going off on Moses. Moses, will you bring us out here to die? And then Moses is like, hey, yo, Lord, it's your boy again. So you see this, right? I'm just wondering if you're still there. There's a wall of water in front of me. And then, like, the people you told me that weren't going to be an issue, they're an issue again. So, like, what do I do, God? And let me just read you the verse. Okay. Exodus 14, verse 15 through 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Okay. Back up a couple steps. Because some of you in the Old Testament, you're like, man, God's, like, all smitey. Like, he's just going to, and then, like, just don't, like, make God mad, because he'll just, like, he don't even care about you. The thing is, God told Moses time and time and time and time and over and over and over and over that, Moses, I'm going to use you to deliver my people. And Moses is like, but there's water. Okay, to put into context for you, this would be over a 2,000-mile stretch that they would have to cross through the ocean. It's like if I took you to Newport and I was like, okay, Catalina's over there. Stretch your hand out. You'd be like, this dude's lost it. Nope. I'm good. But I'm just like, just go. But there's sharks. I'm all right. I don't do that. There's jellyfish. There's kinds of fish. There's like, seaweed. And then Becky with her apples. But to contextualize it, because if we just look at the text and then we don't try and put ourselves into it, what ends up happening is we bypass it, we look at our situation, and we go, I can't relate. So what metaphorical Red Sea are you facing? What is in front of you that you don't see a way through? And then what's coming behind you that is trying to get you to go back? Oh, I'm preaching to somebody today. I'm preaching to somebody that just got a diagnosis that you're just saying, I don't see a way through. I just see a way out. I'm preaching to someone today that's saying, you know what? I woke up and I had the worst news ever. I'm preaching to someone today that is just on the empty of your faith tank. And I'm just trying to tell you, you're still blessed. You're still blessed. If I was blessed, why would I go through this? Because blessing is not predicated on what we have, how we are, what we do, who we're with. Blessing is predicated on my relationship with God. I'm blessed because I already have a relationship with him. That's why I'm blessed. Tell me I'm going to be blessed. Tell me that God's going to do such a great work in my life. I'm getting there. But I just have to get you to this point that if you are facing a God problem, it does not mean the word that you got from God is forfeited. If God told you something, guess what? Nothing changes. If he told you your marriage was going to be healed, nothing changes. If he told you your kids were going to be in church at the end of the year, guess what? We got about 50-something days left for God to still work on their hearts. If God told you that you were going to be walking in healing this year, but all you've gotten is doctor's report after doctor report after doctor report, guess what? Nothing changes. But the thing that can change is your mindset on what you do. Will you go back to the ways of how you used to problem solve, or will you look to God's solutions? Will you go back? Well, at least it relieved the pain. At least it numbed me. At least it took my mind off of things. Have you tried praying? Have you tried accountability? Have you tried bringing people in and saying, look, whether you gossip about this or not, that's on you and God, and I hope God gets you. But I just need someone to come in agreement with me. I need someone to pray over me. I need someone to pray for my situation. Have you tried going to someone and saying, hey, I'm dealing with this. Like, man, can you just come in agreement with me? Or are you quicker to turn to the very things that caused the arguments in the marriage in the first place? Are you quicker to go to the things that caused division in your household in the first place? Are you quicker to go to the things that you know how to do that help you cope with the pain but cause anxiety, shame, and guilt later? Look, I understand that you may not have had the best of upbringings, but I'm telling you this, Christ came for you and I to make all things new. So what does that mean? That means from this point forward, I no longer have the ability to use it's an excuse. No, that means that what I have to do is take ownership and say, you know what? Whether my dad showed me or not, whether my mom showed me or not, whether I have someone in my life or not, whether someone is able to do it, God, you are for me. There has to come a point in your relationship with God where you say, you know what, Lord? No one ever showed me how to do this, so show me. Moses, stretch your hand over the Red Sea. Start praying over your spouse. Start praying over your kids. Start praying over your prophetic kids. Prophetic kids. Start praying over your future spouse. Start praying over your future children. Start praying over your future company. We have a point in our culture with this generation that thinks it's here. No, I'm sorry. Just because you thought it doesn't mean you don't take action. It's the same way translate into our relationship with God. Just because you prayed it doesn't mean it just comes to pass. You have to now put it together. I know, you want to hear how much of a blessing you are. I'm getting there. Let me get there, okay? Becky's still counting her apples. But the nation of Israel is at this point where they're saying, God, I don't know what to do. And Moses goes to God, and Moses is like, I don't know what to do. And God's like, I already told you what to do. I already told you you were going to be healed. I already told you you were going to have children. I already told you you were going to start that business. I already told you. And I just came to remind some people today, God already told you. And this is why you can't quit. This is why you can't quit, because you have come too far this year. You have done too much in work with God this year. You have put forth so much effort that if you throw it all away now, guess what? They're going to say, I knew it was fake. I knew it was too good to be true. I knew that if we just gave you time, you go back to how you used to be. You go back to the same club person. You go back to the same bars. You go back to the same drunk person. You go back to the same addict. You go back to the same things because that's just who you were. No. Christ came. And because he came, he died for my sins. And because he died for my sins, I am a new nature. Because I am a new nature, I no longer have to take on the title of an addict. I no longer have to take on the title of being who that person once is. Now what I take on is a son of the Most High, a daughter of the Most High. I take on being able to say, God, you are for me. Who shall be against me? God, I may go through the fire, but Lord, you're the God of the fires. God, I may be going through deep waters, but guess what, Lord? If you parted the Red Sea once, you can part it again for me. God problems. They require God solutions. So how are you doing with these problems? So I brought them to church. Don't you? No, stop. You got to tell yourself in a God problem season that you got a word from God, and that word is going to carry you through. Someone say the blessing of a God problem. So what is the blessing of a God problem? Like, let's finally answer that question. What is the blessing of a God problem? Someone asked, what's the blessing of a God problem? Okay, thank you for asking. The blessing of a God problem This is mature talk. The blessing of a God problem is that you come to a point in your relationship with God when you get unexpected news. You get an unexpected situation. You get an unexpected diagnosis. You get something unexpected that just happens to come in your life. You say, okay, Lord, this is not fun. God, I was not expecting this, but because this caught me by surprise, I know it didn't catch you by surprise, but God, I know that you're with me. And this may just be a season, Lord, where you want to develop my faith a little bit more. This may be a season, God, where you just want to do some development in me. And look, I know this is not like good preaching talk because we want to hear like, you're blessed and highly favored. Just wish it and it can happen. No. But I have to teach you biblically what the Bible says. You're not blessed because what's in the bank account. You're because guess what? That could be gone tomorrow. I wish it won't. I hope it won't. I hope it don't. But if it is gone tomorrow, your position in Christ didn't change. But what you do with that action, what you do with that feeling, what you do with that fear, with that anxiety, matters. And so mature talk is that when we do get something that is unexpected, an unexpected God problem, what we say is, oh, I know this isn't for me. What do I mean by that? When my wife and I were believing God that we would have kids, and then the pandemic hit, and then just a month after, we're trying to process, oh my gosh, like the world's shutting down. We found out we were infertile. In that moment, I could not understand why. Okay? So you have to take time to process. God, I don't understand why this is happening right now. Let me just relieve you of this. Is that's not a bad thing to take into prayer. It is not a bad child syndrome for you to go to God and say, God, I genuinely don't understand this. But Lord, I need your peace to be with me to know that you're with me through this, God. So we're going through our infertility, and another year went by, no kids. Another year went by, no kids. And then we finally start taking the steps to see, okay, you know, let's just see what's happening. And we get this diagnosis of being infertile, and the doctor says you're going to need fertility treatment in order for you to have kids. The likelihood for you to have children will be between 1 to 3%. You see, Tom right there, I was just ordained as a student pastor. So my faith right there was like, 1 to 3%? It's like almost unlikely. And so I needed someone that had gone through that season before that can speak into my life and build my faith, which was our pastors. But Tom today, Pastor Tom today, and not just because I'm a pastor, but because of what I had to go through, but because of the development in my faith, but because of the testing of my faith, but because of persevering through trials and storms and difficulties, but because of all the hardships that I had to overcome, I can look at that today and say 1 to 3%, that's enough for God to move. You could tell me zero, and I know that God will still move. Because what man says does not overrule what my God says. Man may say the likelihood of you not surviving is little to no, but my God says he is the resurrector, he is the revival, he is the one who can bring dead back to life. So if you say there's no chance, my God says he'll make a way. Someone say God problems. Okay, what is the blessing behind a God problem? Point number three, the blessing of my God problems. You ready for this? Is it blesses others. I don't want to go through this. Nobody does. Nobody does. I didn't want to walk through infertility. No man wants to be told you're infertile. But years later, what they once spoke over me is not true anymore. So what the doctors told me of you're being infertile, years later, they say he's perfectly fine. Okay. So we're still believing God for more miracle kids. So just because you go through something one time does not mean you pass a test and peace out, it's over. I know, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to encourage you, and right now I just discourage you a little bit more. I'm sorry, but I got to preach it true. But I have the faith this time around to say, God, you provided it already back then. Like, it's not a problem. So however it's going to happen, Lord, you already showed me. I'm preaching to someone today that you're facing the biggest Goliath in your life, but earlier this year, God showed you a picture of what he was going to do with you, a row filled with your family. And right now you're looking, you're like, well, it's not empty because we got overflow, but I don't know them. They're a stranger, they're a stranger, they're a stranger, they're a stranger, they're a stranger. God, I thought, Lord, this was going to be my family. And maybe you're here today and you're believing for miracle kids. Guess what? He can do it. Maybe you're here today and God spoke to you about that job that you were, that the company you were going to start, and then you got let go. And you're like, I don't know what to do. Start the company. Take a step of faith. God, do you not see what's going on? And God's like, Moses, stretch your hand out. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to drive this water all night to create a way. What should have taken scientifically to be impossible. Do you know what they would have to build in the ocean to separate the waters? We're very intelligent in our technology today, but like logically it just doesn't make sense, and God did it in one night. What does not make sense logically, God just needs one moment. I don't know who that was for, but I felt that in my spirit. What does not make sense logically, God just needs a moment. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to create a moment here. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, you are the blessing of God. Problems is to bless others. Here's what the Bible says. It says, he comforts us in all our troubles. So that what? We don't like that. Omit that from the scripture. Take that one off. We don't like it. But the reality is, it's not for me. My God problem is not for me. The problem that you got yourself into, that's for you. You did that one. You need to own that one. But the one that you did not want, ask for, pray for, wish for, hope on your enemies for, that you find yourself in today, that's for you. So that we can comfort others when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Can I tell you the importance of why it is so vitally important, if I could just urge you in this, why you do not go back to past trends, patterns, and strongholds. You ever heard that term? Broken people do broken things. Maybe you didn't. Okay. Broken people do broken things. But what if we flip that? What if we say, if broken people do broken things, now this doesn't mean perfectionism, but what happens if someone is healed? What would a healed person do to a broken person? Because if brokenness just repeats brokenness, I wonder if I just threw a little Becky in there with a little apple tossing. And I wonder if I just came out of a broken season and was healed, and then God happens to just coincidentally sit me next to someone today that I didn't look at their phone. I didn't overhear what they were saying. But when they were in worship, they said, God, I just got this diagnosis and I need your help. But God, you healed my body months ago. What would happen if a healed person got around more healed, more broken people? Wouldn't that mean logically that healed people can go and heal broken people? Can I tell you and implore on you why you must not go back to the things that broke you? Because if you go back, you will get around others and spread dysfunctionality. But God problems present opportunities for you to honor God with the God solutions. So instead of you going into the situation now being healed, God bringing you through, you get to go and say, hey, you know what? When I went through that season, it took everything in me to not go to the bottle. It took everything in me to not go to the strip club. It took everything in me to not go to the ladies. It took everything in me to not have an affair. It took everything in me to not cheat. It took everything in me to still honor God in my singleness. Come on, young people. It took everything in me to not go to the porn side, to not go to the pills. It took everything in me, but I found a way that does not come with shame. It does not come with guilt. It comes with peace. It comes with joy. It comes with such an assurance that, like, even when my faith was emptied, God made a way. Can I show you that way? The blessing of a God problem is that it blesses others. So what are we going to do in this moment? I'm going to ask if you could stand to your feet with me. Because there are people here today that you are going through God problems and you do not see a way out, you do not know a way out, I'm just up here today to tell you there is a way out. God can do it time and time again. I came to encourage some people that you just lost your job and you're like, oh my gosh, I wanted to bless my family this holiday season. I wanted to do all this. I wanted to go above and beyond. Now I'm not going to be able to do that. Let me just backtrack a little bit here. There's still 50-something days left. You don't know what God can do in that time. When she lost her job, she called me and said, hey, just found out I'm going to be let go. I'm like, hold the phone, Becky. What's going on here? What's going on? Like, what do you mean? Like, okay, back up. Okay, how are you, babe? Well, newsflash, wasn't expecting that. And I just said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to believe God. Number one, you're going to get pay increase because your company should have paid you more, and they didn't. So we're going to pray for an increase, a good increase. Number two, what we're going to do is we're going to pray that you find a company that has really great values, that they value you, who you are as a person. Number three, we're going to pray that it would have benefits, really good benefits. And number four, we're going to pray that it's still remote work and it works with our schedule, because we know what God has called us to do and we need to find something from that. Application after kit, after application, after application, after application, weeks after weeks after weeks. And I'm like, it's me again. Remember me, Pastor Tom, worth double honor now? Okay. Well, anyways, God, we're still believing for this. And then my wife gets a job weeks, almost months later, everything we were praying for. Well, that's just because you're a pastor. No. But because God needed to use us in a season to continue to have reliance on Him, that manna is not my provider, God is my provider. And so I don't know what God problem you are facing here in this room or online today, but here's what I know. He knows. He has the solution. He has the end of how it's going to turn out. And all we need to do is create a moment. So on the count of three, what I'm going to do is, if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Tom, I am facing a God problem. It could be of any size. It could be a really big issue. You could have cancer in your body. You could have a diagnosis that the doctors can't explain. You could have be given news that you're just like, I just don't know what to do. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to make your way to the front. Why am I doing that? The reason why I'm having us respond here today is because what it requires is us for us to take a step out of our comfortability. It requires for us to be a little inconvenienced, because if we're honest, the enemy will kill your worship in a God problem season. It will take everything in you to pray, to fast, to worship. And young people, if I could teach you anything, please trust God more in these types of seasons, because He's going to create a way. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you just to make your way forward. And prayer partners, I need you to get ready, because I'm not going to be able to pray for everybody. So on the count of three, you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Tom, I am facing God problems. I need you to make your way up to the front. Ready? One, two, three. Just come on up. Just come on up. Just come on up. Just come on up. Come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up. Your God problem can be a job loss. Your God problem can be a diagnosis. Your job problem could be whatever it is that you cannot see a way out. Just come on up, come on up, come on up, come on. Make your way close to the stage, close to the stage, close to the stage. Make room for people. Here's what we're going to do in this moment. I'm so proud of you guys for responding. Because I know what it's like to not be able to take what I'm feeling to the right place, but to take it to the wrong place. And I don't want you to have to do that. I don't want you to have to go through that shame, through that guilt, or through that condemnation, because then the enemy will get real loud in your voice. And what he'll do is he'll make you stop believing what God spoke over you. But God gave you a word. God showed you a picture. God brought you to this church for a reason. And I'm just here to affirm that He has a God solution for you. I'll say it again. He has a God solution for you. For some of you that are up here today, you got a diagnosis. You got a diagnosis. The doctors have told you a doctor's report. God, I pray supernatural healing over them right now in this moment. Relieve every fear off them. Devil, get your hands off them. Some of you, you're up here. You just lost a job. You lost unemployment. You have no way how you're going to figure your bills. You are about to be introduced to Jehovah Jireh. You are about to meet God as your provider. God, I pray, Lord, a miracle check come in the mail, God. I pray, Lord, that it would be from years and years ago so they can't put a logical explanation behind it, but they can only say, wow, God, you are real. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing this song. And I know that there are some of you that are in your seat that you are so bound by the season that you're in that you cannot make your way up here. And I want to tell you, it's okay, because God can touch you in your seat. God can touch you in your seat. We're going to sing this song here, and we're going to make this a declaration that it's not by power, that it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. That God, you're still my strong tower. That God, I believe you to be true. That we're going to let you know today, He's a strong fortress, and we're going to tell the devil, you got to go. So here's what I want you to do. Come on, because sometimes you got to worship before worship starts. Come on, lift your hands in this place.
Thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.